York, New York. Well, the New York subway has provided many a memorable scene both in literature and on screen. For Naomi Hart, living in New York City while she pursued a musical theatre career, the subway was sometimes the most colourful stage of them all. Here's Naomi with Episode 3 of Broadway Dreaming. And I should let you know, there is one brief instance of colourful language in a bit over 3 minutes.
My friend was dog-sitting in a brownstone in Greenwich Village when one night she comes home to find the dog has up and died on her. Terrified, she calls the owners, but they don't seem too distressed and ask her just to take the dog to their vet and they will sort it out when they get back. How am I going to transport a dead dog around the streets of New York, the girl wonders. Sensibly, she thinks, she chooses a suitcase and stuffs the dog inside, pushing his paws into the corners and curling his tail around the special compartment for socks and ties. There is no elevator in the brownstone, so she lugs the suitcase full of demise dog down the stairs and out into the snowy streets of New York. Now, one would assume the ideal mode of transport for a dead dog would be a taxi. But she's an actor, therefore she's poor and doesn't have the money for a taxi. So she embraces that mighty workhorse, the great New York subway. She drags the case along the snow-slicked street, and kathunk, kathunk, kathunks her hefty load down two flights of stairs to the subway platform and boards her train. She alights at her stop, then looks up at the three flights of stairs, daunted at the prospect of getting her corpse to the top. "Excuse me, ma'am, do you need a hand?" asks a young man. "Oh, that'd be awesome," she says gratefully. "This bag is really heavy." "It looks it," says the Good Samaritan, picking up one end of the case. "What's in there?" "Computer supplies," lies the girl, hoping he doesn't get too close and catch the faint whiff of expired canine. "Oh, right, like parts of computers?" "Yeah, I'm moving, and this seemed like the best way to transport my computer." She cringes at her tail, but the guy seems to believe her, and they make it to the second landing. "Thanks so much for helping me." "No problem," says the guy. "I'm just glad I was around when you needed me." And then he punches her in the face, prompting her to drop the bag and grab her bleeding nose. He grabs the case, sprints up the final flight of stairs and out into the streets of New York, never to be seen again. Gone. And not with a case of dismantled computer pieces like he supposes, but rather with a day-old deceased Fido hijacked on its way to the doggy morgue. Just another New York travel story. True, though. The New York subway is the limousine for the proletariat. Apart from a few cool celebs like Kevin Bacon and Kira Sedgwick, most rich and powerful New Yorkers wouldn't deign to travel where the rats do, armies of them running rampant on the rails. Sometimes on the subway you preach to, other times you're entertained by agile, limber youths breakdancing, somehow in synchronicity with the ricocheting train. I once watched a man change his entire outfit without revealing his undergarments. From behind the cover of his dry cleaning bag, he shared his sneakers, shorts and t-shirt and emerged in a tux, complete with cufflinks, cravat and shiny black shoes. And of course, there were the homeless. Most of the time I just listened to their carefully rehearsed tales of woe, though they would often forget which one they'd used, telling us they were in hiding from a murderer one day and were refugees from New Orleans the next. One gentleman opted for the honest approach and wore a sign that said, "Please give me money so I can buy some beer and pay a hooker to take advantage of me." "Ladies and gentlemen," said my regular guy with his wild grey hair and semi-destroyed trench coat, "if I could just have a moment of your time." "Please help," interjected another voice. "Anything will do. Spare change, food, anything." It was a dishevelled woman I didn't recognise from the other end of the carriage. "Hey, listen," started the man. "Barry, is that you?" said the woman. "Wanda?" "Yeah. It's me," she said, heading towards him. "Things have just been a little rough lately, that's all. Leonard wants a divorce." "What?" "Yeah, he kicked me out of our spot under the church and told me I had to find my own place to squat." "Why?" "He thinks I fucked Jerry. You know Jerry, don't you?" "Yeah, sure, Jerry, Brooklyn line, right?" "Yeah, it's not true, but Leonard won't believe me. I've been looking for somewhere, but it's hard. It's so late in winter, everything is taken." I listened, enraptured, until suddenly it was Columbus Circle and I had to get off the train. You don't see that sort of live performance in your chauffeur-driven, tinted-window hire car. The subway. Sometimes a hearse for deceased canines, this time a stage. I reached into my bag and just before the doors closed behind me, I handed Wanda a fiver.
Naomi Hart, and next week in Broadway Dreaming, Naomi is making ends meet with restaurant work and she discovers just how useful cling wrap can be for someone in a delicate situation.